This is Living the RV Dream, episode 243 for Friday, June 17th. Yes, June 17th, 2022.
Riding in my RV, wherever I want to be. Because I'm free in my RV.
Hello, 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 happy campers, hello fellow pelican heads and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, coolie builders, whatever you do it, however you do it, thank you so much for listening, first of all, and coming to you today from, I was going to say Pierre, South Dakota, but I've been reliably informed it is pronounced Pierre, or something similar to that. This is the capital of South Dakota. So we're here ever so briefly, and whenever I do something like this at a place that I don't know, I end up regretting it in the end. I only allocated one night here because I'm like, you know, Pierre, we'll take a look at the Capitol building. I also anticipated arriving here a lot sooner, right? But it seems to be a nice town. We found a campsite right here, right on the bank of the Missouri River. There's two sides of Pier. There's Fort Pier, which is on the west bank, and Pier, which is on the east bank. And the west bank is on the mountain time zone, and the east bank is on the central time zone. So we're kind of confused. We don't really know how many hours away from Florida we are now. But in any case, if the podcast comes out an hour early or an hour late, I apologize. But this is how we do it. And then tomorrow we're going to spend a couple of days in Bismarck, because mainly I want to see if I can make an appointment. You know, the Colorado needs an oil change, and it needs brakes, most likely front brakes. So we might do that while we wait for that mythical, almost unicorn-like Silverado that is coming. Actually, I was just chatting with the gentleman, the owner of the dealership, and apparently any day now it is going to ship. So not only because of that, but there's a slight change of plans that I'm going to tell you in a little bit. But first, let me tell you what we've done. It's been such an adventure for the past couple of days, in a good way. And sometimes when you say you had an adventure, it is negative, right? You had a flat tire, something happened here and there. But, I mean, knock on fake wood. The trip has been pretty flawless all the way here, except for that incident in Kentucky that I don't recall if I told you about or not. But the minor fender bender. In any case, the only thing negative yesterday and today, really, have been the white knuckle drive, because it's been windy, you know, 20 mile an hour winds with 30 mile an hour gusts, and yeah, it makes for a white knuckle drive, especially here in the Great Plains. Now we're almost out of the Great Plains. I don't know if it was Steinbeck in Travels with Charlie that he says that at the Missouri River he wrote it in North Dakota, but it rings true around here too. It's where the map should fold, you know. It's where the topography really changes, you know. You kind of leave the Great Plains, you know, which is completely flat, and then you start seeing rolling hills. And the weather becomes drier, and before you know it, you're in the Badlands, which I'm so looking forward to. The Badlands, we're probably gonna do a little bit of the North Dakota Badlands on the way west. And hold on, let me tell you first what we've done, and then I'm gonna tell you, because we might be coming back east before we continue west. We're gonna do a strange loop, and as you know, we're making it up as we go along, and we write the rules as we make them. And as usually, I sometimes people tell me, you remember so well all the places that you visit, and there are two things. First of all, I have what I called Google assisted memory. And that is what it sounds like, you know. I rely on Google and everything Google knows about me a lot in order to, you know, to help myself remember things. And then after I edit the videos, after I'll do all the production, think of it as taking the trip 3, 4, or 5 times. You know, that's how many times I view the videos as I'm editing them, and then it just engraved in my memory. That's when someone asks me, when did old Kia break down? Oh, that was what, September 2017. When does this happen? You know, I remember certain dates very well just because I edited those videos. I mean, sometimes I have to rack my brain and wait for that internal hard drive in my head to spin up to speed. But yeah, but as it happens, you know, I have no idea what I did last week. It's hard to remember, but I do have my Google timeline, which is telling me we were in Kansas City. And I don't recall exactly if I told you much about Kansas City in the previous episode, because I don't think we had done all that much yet, but we enjoyed Kansas City tremendously. I mean, Kansas City is now, and I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say it's a top 10, one of my favorite cities in the United States. You know, it first of all, it's, people are very extremely nice. It's for the most part, it's very clean, feels very safe. The only negative, you know, we went to this park. It's I think it's called the Kaw Park, you know, K-A-W, and that's the confluence, Kaw Point Park is the confluence of the Kansas River and the Missouri River, and they have like a Lewis and Clark marker and monument, and actually everything around that area has a Lewis and Clark name, same as some areas we've been more recently. But someone had painted, and I don't know if I should say here on the podcast, some distasteful graffiti on poor Lewis and Clark. Anatomically inaccurate, distasteful graffiti. And of course, I already posted that picture. I had to... I didn't Photoshop it, but actually Apple Photos has a very cool retouch feature that is not as accurate as the clone brush in Photoshop, but it's close. It's darn close enough, and I was able to erase those things. What did we do while we were in Kansas City? So much. It's hard to remember, but the first day, as soon as we arrived, well, we stayed at this RV park, which I'm going to say a lot of locals kind of made a little fun of us for staying there. And it's Worlds of Fun. It's an amusement park. But let me tell you. Yeah, it is. It is. What should I say? In that sense that it lacks personality, or it's not like in a natural setting. But it's one of the best designed RV resorts I've ever been to. I mean, every site has like a hedge to provide privacy right where your picnic table is, and everything is it feels like a brand new RV resort too. And it was nice, it was clean, folks were nice, we were very, very friendly, and sometimes that's all that really matters. On that first day, of course, the first thing we did, we went to Joe's a barbecue in Kansas City, which is something you have to do. And I get a feeling of deja vu that I already told you this, but that's what we did. And then we had the great Kansas City meetup, and that was last Thursday, so I probably told you about that, so I won't dwell on it. But then on the next day, we just decided to go downtown and explore Kansas City on our own. And the first thing we did, we went to the National World War II Museum and Memorial. We didn't really do the museum. We just went to the memorial from there. And if you don't want to, you don't even have to go to the... It's a big tower, basically. A big tower. And if you don't want to go up to the tower, I mean, it's like $8. It's not very expensive. But the best views of the skyline of the city, you can see it from there. You see Union Station in the foreground, and then the city in the back, and all these buildings, all these, so some of them that look like they've been there like since a very long time, and then the more modern skyline. I really, really enjoyed that we did go all the way to the top. It's a good experience. The elevator guy that handles the elevator, super funny guy, and overall everybody was very friendly. We went into Union Station, which is an honest to God, you know, like old style railroad station. You know, it's high ceiling. You know, you feel like you're in Grand Central on one of these. You know, and they do actually. I think there's one passenger train that comes throughout the whole day, and it came through when we were there. I don't know if it was the Zephyr or one of those that goes cross country. And then someone had recommended, people recommended many barbecue joints, but we wanted something a little more sit down, you know, and this is one of the ones that people recommended the most, and let me tell you, it did not disappoint. It is called Jack Stack Barbecue at Freight House. They have like several, they have like three or four Jack Stacks. This is the one right behind Union Station. I mean, it's walking distance, and the food was delicious. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's probably one of the best barbecues I've ever had. Service was kind of strange. You know, these days a lot of places are understaffed. A lot of the staff is it's under trained. So like the coleslaw came with the drinks before the bread, and it was one of those things that things came out of order. It's all right. The food was great, and that's what matters in the end. But and then this is what we did. This is what we did. Kansas City has this free. I'm gonna call it a trolley, but it's not a trolley. What do they call it? Streetcar, like the streetcar called Desire. And we went to this area called City Market. Not because we wanted to see the city market, although I did have my espresso there, but there's a great museum in that area. It's something that, I mean, if you are coming to Kansas City, that's something you have to do. And that is, it is the Steamboat Arabia. The Arabia Steamboat Museum. This boat, it sank in the 1800s, in the late 1800s, and this is what happens. The Missouri River was a very treacherous river, had all this driftwood, and some of these branches that were underwater, and they pierced, you know, a hole in the Arabia Steamboat hull, and down the ship we went. Nobody died, only a poor donkey that was, or a mule, I think it was a mule that was tied up to the deck, and they forgot to untie the poor animal, and the mule drowned, but everybody else got saved. But the ship stayed at the bottom of the river until actually rather recently. And what happens is the Missouri is kind of a wild river, and it has shifted its path over the years. And by the time this group of, actually it's a private museum and let's call them treasure hunters. They excavated, it was a farm, and what happens, they talk to the guy who owned the farm, and the guy told them, it's your time and your money, dig and see what you find. And lo and behold, you know, they went with this high-tech metal detector, and they found the ship, and they dug it out. And they have, like, a lot of pieces of the ship, and most of its cargo. You know, because some of these ships, and back in the day, are like the equivalent of nowadays, the barges that go up and down the river, or, like, you know, like those ships with cargo containers. So the ship had, like, hundreds of, like, shoes and hats and clothing and jewelry. And it was like a lost treasure. And I mean, long story short, if you're in Kansas City, this is a must. Although I hear rumors that they're gonna move the museum to St. Charles, Missouri, you know, close to St. Louis. I hope they don't. This was a very good museum, and you know, they didn't recover a lot of the wooden parts of the ship. You know, they have like a. Like the bow of the stern, the rear of the ship with the rudder, they saved that, and it's in pretty good condition. But what they say, well, all the stuff that was metal, you know, like the boiler or the crankshaft things that they could restore. All that is in the museum, and they have like movies that tell you the story of the steamboat Arabia. That was one of the highlights for sure about our time in Kansas City for sure. That was, of course, our first day in Kansas City, but there's so much more to see. And there's a brewery that if you're... Because we didn't do the tour, but I hear the tour is great. Boulevard Brewing Company, and I think I found my new favorite IPA, actually. What a great brewery. And then we stopped by a Ming Mule Distilling Company. They do, like, agave-based liquors. And it was an interesting place, different atmosphere. Of course, then we decided to kill some time. And we don't really gamble much, but we went to the Ameristar Casino Hotel. And we ate there, actually. They have a decent Mexican place in the casino. And we won $100. So we decided to eat it and celebrate at this other... There's a winery that a lot of people in the meetup recommended to. It's called Belvoir. A winery and inn, and you can tell that they do a lot of weddings there and wedding receptions and all that. But yeah, Belvoir, that was a lot of fun. From Kansas City, we went to Omaha, but along the way, we decided to stop at a couple of places along the way because why not? But before we move on, have I said how much we really enjoyed Kansas City? You know, it's not one of these cities. It's not pretentious, you know. It doesn't have like one huge landmark or something they must see. You know, it's not in. Oh, I forgot. We visited one more thing on our second day in town. What I wanted to say, it's one of those things that you don't think it would be a great destination. I mean, but it is. We visited the TWA Museum. I mean, it wasn't the highlight of the trip, but you know, it's one of those airlines. They had their headquarters in Kansas City, and it was kind of like their hub, and they take you through the hangar, and they have some memorabilia. They even have like an old TWA plane there, and they have like all the training, you know, the simulators and whatnot that they used to use to train the pilots and the flight attendants and whatnot. So I liked it. I wanted to do that. Was one of the things that I wanted to see in Kansas City because I had heard of it, and I remember TWA. I mean, that was like one of the great international airlines of all time, right? But in any case, from there we took the trek towards Omaha. And I mean, it's a blur, but that was Monday. We stopped by the Pony Express National Museum, which is in St. Joseph, Missouri, and then we stopped at this. It's very nice, actually. It's a Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. It's in Nebraska City, but it has a couple of trails. And it has probably the most accurate replica we've seen of the keelboat that Lewis and Clark took, you know, on this expedition. So since this is kind of a themed Lewis and Clark trip, we did that. We stayed at this campground, actually, which is, how much was it, like $16 for just electric. And I mean, they have a dump station and water as you go in or out. But first come, first serve, they don't allow a reservation. It was very good in that sense. And we didn't do much in Omaha this time. I mean, we went by the historic city market, and we ended up at the same place. I've been three times now to that place, Upstream Brewing Company. But it didn't disappoint. On a Monday, a lot of things were closed down or dead, and that place was happening. I had my Omaha steak, as I usually do. And their Landmark IPA, I think it's called Landmark, or Signature, or it's a word like that, I forget. But then again, we didn't want to visit Omaha because right now the whole riverfront is under construction, so I want to wait until they finish all that, because when they finish it, that's going to be amazing. And of course, part of that, it's the Conagra Park that I went to three years ago, back in 2019, when I visited the city for the first time. I mean, Conagra, they moved their headquarters away from here. So I think they're converting all that to like condominiums and they're rebuilding the park. But more importantly, Lewis and Clark Landing, which is closed at the moment. It's temporarily closed. And they have the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail headquarters. And there's the Bob Bridge that goes into Iowa. They have a pedestrian bridge that goes into Iowa. So I did that in Omaha. That's pretty much all we did. We're going to go back to Omaha. I'm going to be monitoring when that riverfront is finished. That's where we're going back. And we're going to spend a couple of days in Omaha, Nebraska. Because there's something about Omaha. You know, it's one of those cities that it's cool. Okay, on the way north, we stopped. Of course, there's one more point of interest in the Lewis and Clark trip. And that's the Floyd's Bluff. That's Sergeant Floyd. Who was the only member of the Lewis and Clark expedition to die. He died of appendicitis and they buried him. They don't know exactly where they buried him, but there's this obelisk that they erected in the bluff near where we think that he was buried. We didn't do much in Sioux City. I mean, there's only so much you can do on a trip as long of a trip as we're doing. So what we decided to do is we decided to camp on the, it's called Lewis and Clark Lake, Wigand campground. Is right there on the lake. Beautiful campground. It's reservable up to 3 days in advance, and then it is first come, first serve. So on a Tuesday there was nobody there. So on a Tuesday we were able to reserve. I paid for two nights and we stayed two nights there. And during those two nights, the second day, basically what we did is, you know, drove around the whole lake. And there are several, you know, points of interest, like Niobrara State Park. And we went into the town of, what's the name of them? Yankton, which is also very important. And very importantly, I went to this, it's near Vermilion. It's a mound, and at first I thought it was like an Indian mound, but it's not. It's a natural mound, and that was the first spot where when Lewis, I think it was both of them actually, they decided for the first time to walk away from the river. You know, they went on a hike, and they went to this place. Spirit Mound, and that was for the first Spirit Mound State Historic Prairie. That's what it's called, Spirit Mound. And there's a trail that it's a little under a mile that you can take all the way to the top of the mound. And as the story goes, as the books have related the story, that's the first time they were able to see the tall grass prairie as it was from an elevated position, and they saw hundreds or thousands of bison. And that's how the story goes. Nowadays, it's mostly farmland, but they have preserved or reconstructed, rather. The mound was privately owned until recently, and now the state park, you know, the state of South Dakota owns it, and they kind of restored it as it would have looked back in the day with the vegetation, you know, the tall grass prairie. They don't really mow the lawn or anything like that, so they keep it as accurately as possible to what it would have looked in yesteryears. And that brings us to today. This morning we were still on the south, but beautiful, I had no idea. Beautiful, you know, you see all these bluffs all around the Lake Lewis and Clark, which is really the Missouri River. It's a dam. And it's a dam, and I forget the name of the dam right now, but we went to the dam too, by the way. You can drive over the dam, and it's called Google doesn't say what the name of the dam is. Calumet Dam. It's a Calumet Bluff there, and they have another, it's a nice visitor center, not the best one, but you can see nice views of the river and whatnot. Okay, that was yesterday. Now today we are in Pierre, as I've been reliably informed is pronounced, is the capital of North Dakota. I mean South Dakota. So, yeah, we should have stayed here a little longer. But, you know, I want to make it as far west as possible. Oh, by the way, on the way here, we stopped at... it's kind of like a kind of tourist trappy, it says. But it's a place that has been there for over 100 years. I mean, this is the third reconstruction. But it's called the world's only corn palace. And naive me, I thought like the whole building was built out of corn. And that's not the case. But all the outside, they make these murals. And if you look closely, it's all, you know, cobs of corn. So, of different colors. And that's how they make all the murals. And they have murals inside. Inside is like an arena slash theater. They have a gift shop. And you can smell this, the corn smell inside that place is so palpable. It's like, it's intoxicating. So if you like corn... And anyway, if you don't, if you're in that area of South Dakota, I mean, it's right on I-90, so you can't miss it. Go to Mitchell, South Dakota, and stop at the Corn Palace. Well, by the way, we had lunch at this restaurant. It's called the Depot. It's an old, it's built on an old railroad depot, which it's a pretty sizable railroad station at the time, and the food was great. Actually, we ate too much because I saw in the appetizer list this thing called chislicks, and I had heard someone recommended it, or I read somewhere that was like the South Dakota delicacy of excellence. And what it is this cubed meat, and I think it was beef, but I think it can be other types of meat too. And it's deep fried, and that was delicious. And then I had the buffalo burger, which was like their house specialty, and it was like an open-faced sandwich. It was delicious. Illy had the Philly cheesesteak, which wasn't like in the classical sense a Philly cheesesteak, but everything was so tasty. It was good. It was good. And that's it. That's been our adventures for this week, and now in this coming week we're gonna be mostly in North Dakota. But I think by the time I speak to you next Friday, we're gonna be in Montana. I have a feeling we're gonna be in Montana. Now we have a couple of voicemails, but before that I wanted to remind you, because I don't really have any advertising here on the podcast, but I'm gonna put a link to my Amazon .com affiliate store, because if you go through that link and you buy something, whatever you buy, you don't have to buy something in my list, I do get a small commission, and that does help support the work that I do on the podcast and all that. So so make sure if you're going to buy something, and I'm sure you're going to buy something soon, go through my link, and that way you help support the show. Now let me see what I have when it comes to voicemails.
I love your videos there, Robert. One of these days I'm going to do it. My dad had an RV, but he never got to travel the USA. He passed away 3 years ago, and I'm planning on doing that if I ever get financially ahead. So you take care, man. Bye.
Well, thank you so much for your message, and I'm sorry about your dad. I mean, and what I want to say, I really hope that you can make it happen, you know, traveling around the country, seeing this great land, because we're not getting any younger, and the sooner you do it, the more you're gonna enjoy it. So even if financially it seems difficult, maybe you can start on the cheap, you know, get a cheap van and convert it, and travel around your state, and then maybe you can travel around farther away places, you know what I mean. No, don't wait to make the leap, because there's a lot to see out there, and 10 lifetimes are not enough to see it all.
Hi, Robert. It's Alan here from the Earth Radar Area Pickering, and I have a few questions today. My first question is, when will you visit Japan? Yes, and my second question is, For the Lewis and Clark trip, when will you eventually reach the west coast of the U.S.? Yes, and my final question is, For the next vacation loan, when you get back to Miami, will you play the song Driving to the West? Yes, and today is Saturday, June 11th, 2022. By the time you're hearing this, it'll be Friday, June 17th, 2022. So, I'll see you guys at the library at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central. Yes. And I really hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I really hope things go well. Unless the stream plans change and it's delayed, we will be at 6 p.m. So that's all, and I hope you guys have a wonderful time and your wonderful trip, and have a wonderful day. Bye!
Hey, Dylan, thank you for your message, as always. And let me answer a couple of your questions about Japan. I would love to go to Japan someday. I think it's a fascinating culture, so different from what we call the Western world. You know, certain things, because I learned once that Japan was a country that remained isolated for so many, I don't know if decades or even centuries, from the rest of the world, that they developed a unique culture. You know, And the food, oh man, the food. What was the other question? So Japan, no, but actually I'm really tempted. And I'm going to try to make it happen, actually. We might go overseas sooner than later. If we've been thinking about it, we've been talking about it, maybe even this year, later this year, we can make not in an RV, I don't know. But we can make one of those impromptu trips, you know. I know airfare is super expensive right now, but one can only hope that prices will go down. Now, about the time when we're gonna make it to the West Coast, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know yet, because we're gonna make this, and that's what I forgot to mention, that I teased at the beginning of the podcast. We're gonna make this strange loop. Right now we don't have a point of return, but we're gonna go out west as much as possible. But I really do want to attend the Winnebago Grand National Rally in Forest City, Iowa. So we're gonna make like a weird loop and come back to the Winnebago Grand National Rally. But en route to the National Rally, we're gonna stop by the Black Hills area of South Dakota. That's why. Otherwise, we would have gone to the Black Hills area tomorrow, actually. Or as you listen to this, we would have made the live stream from the Rapid City KOA or someplace like that. But we're not. So that's part of the reason why. We don't know if we're gonna make it to the Pacific Coast in August, maybe September. I might even come back to the south, east. To get that new truck that might show up eventually. I mean, I'm not in a particular hurry to make it to the West Coast. I wanna make the whole trip, and eventually I wanna make a documentary about the whole trip, following in the footsteps of Lewis and Clark. But we don't even have to do it in one shot. You know, we're gonna stop in Helena, Montana, and come back. And then in a couple of months, we'll go back to Helena. We'll drive straight through, you know, for 3 or 4 days. We'll make it to Helena and continue the trip. And that may well be the case. Same concept of what we did with New England. You know, we're coming from the west. We made it all the way to upstate New York or west New York. As some people have corrected me, that upstate is really the part that goes north, you know, by the St. Lawrence River. But we did the same thing. I came back to Florida for a couple of weeks, you know, regrouped, took care of certain things, and then went back. Of course, in New England is a lot closer than Montana, but, I mean, it's only expensive gas, right? So that might be a plan B, but we'll see.
I got a kick out of your mom saying that the dumbwaiter at Monticello was the smallest she'd ever seen. And you're saying that's what she said. I thought that was hilarious.
I'm glad you liked that. You know, I'm not one to miss a good opportunity for humor, and that would have been that some people would get a kick out of that. By the way, that wasn't my mom saying that. That was somebody else that was in the room at the same time as us. So it was funny, and I'm like, I can't resist, you know, the 12-year-old in me. In any case, that's it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you have enjoyed. I hope you're having a great day, a great Friday, and have a great weekend. And I'll tell you more about the trip and ask questions if you want this Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, where we're going to be, although we are like on the edge, you know, in this area. The east shore of the Missouri is Central Time. The west of the Missouri is Mountain Time. So we're going to be a stone throw away, which is weird because right now, as I record this, is 9:26 and the sun just set at 9:26. So we are in Central Time right now, but across the river, and I can see the other shore of the river from where I'm sitting right now, it is an hour earlier. Until next time. Thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, aren't we? Because we're free in our RV.